very much, choir. That was beautiful. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 2. You'll find it in your pew Bibles on page 1078, Acts chapter 2. We're in a series. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gospel and how the gospel is a lifelong journey of discovery as we learn more and more about what the gospel is and how the gospel changes our lives. Last week, we talked about the triune God as we understand God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This week we're going to be talking about the church, and a preview into next week, we will be discussing Scripture. God speaks to us through Scripture. God feeds us through Scripture. Without Scripture, we start to waste away. I want to take some time next week so that we can hear from one another. Baptist Church is about listening to the voice of Jesus in all of us. The leadership of the church is Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church, and we are the ministers. We minister to one another. So it's not just me as the pastor, or Scott, or Bob. No, it's everyone. We are ministering to one another. And next week, as we discuss Scripture, I'd like for some of y'all, if you feel comfortable, to stand up and share a minute, maybe, or 2 minutes of what God has taught you through the reading of Scripture this coming week. So keep that in mind as you read Scripture, study Scripture this week. Also, on Wednesday nights, we have prayer and study at 6:15. We're finishing the Purpose-Driven Church this coming Wednesday. And after that, we are going to have times where we can discuss the themes of the previous Sunday. So, for example, we'll be discussing Scripture next Sunday. And so the following Wednesday, we will also be covering Scripture. So if there are any questions from Sunday service, any comments, anything that you thought I didn't explain well enough, or I didn't explain at all, or anything at all, come on Wednesday and we'll be discussing that. So join me now as we read Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. I gotta say, I was visiting Ed and Patricia Rigsby, and we were discussing this passage, and they said that they would love to see church where people are confused as being a little drunk on Sundays, to see some hallelujahs maybe, some amens. And I don't mind that either, so if you feel like saying hallelujah, then go ahead and do it. So last week we were talking about the triune God, as we understand, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons, for lack of a better word. Three persons living together in fellowship. And you may be familiar with C.S. Lewis, a famous writer, theologian from England. He grew up as an atheist, and it was the help of a few of his friends. One of them, J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings trilogy, who led him to Christ. And once he became a Christian, C.S. Lewis, he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and some science fiction books, all these with Christian themes, so non-Christians could read these books and see Jesus in the everyday. He also wrote many other books explicitly Christian about all sorts of things. But one thing that he saw in the triune God is this understanding of God being love. In Scripture we read that God is love. But how can God be love? Love is an action done between two individuals. Like, I love my parents. My parents love me. So what about God? God is love before eternity, before creation, before anything was, God is love. Well, C.S. Lewis said, well, God was loving God. The Father was loving the Son. The Son was loving the Father loving the Holy Spirit loving the Son loving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loving the Father. So there was love in this fellowship of the Trinity. Before anything existed, God loved God, and love existed. Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as we read last week. And it was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, ready to create. And God did create, and God created Adam, the first man. And it wasn't long after God created Adam when God said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Adam needs someone else. Adam had all the animals around him, but there's just so much that you can do with a chimpanzee or a zebra. Even a dog, man's best friend, it's just not the same as people. And so God gave Adam Eve, and Eve Adam, so they wouldn't be alone. And ever since then, humans have been living in societies, living together. We are social beings. We need other people to be healthy. This is why we're concerned about shut-ins. People, part of the church who are living alone, especially the ones living alone, without social interaction, without fellowship with other believers. Sure, they might have some Christian TV stations where they can listen to preachers, but it's just not the same as being face-to-face with someone else. We have a great opportunity here at the church to visit our shut-ins. We have a ministry called Touch. Unfortunately, we'll have to postpone Touch to next week, but think about this week as part of our commitment of being a church is to fellowship with those who are unable to come on Sundays or on Wednesdays or other events. We'll have touch next Sunday at 3:00. And if you haven't come, come. And if you don't know what to do, if you're scared of what it's like to visit, well, I'll come with you, and we'll do it together. But certainly, if we don't receive this social interaction, we can grow unhealthily, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and even physically. And maybe you know of examples of people who lived alone without interaction that slowly, physically, they got unhealthy. You can just ask me, living in that big, big parsonage all alone for the past 4 months, it can get kind of lonely. And so I try to have people over, and I go over to friends' houses. We need that social interaction to stay healthy. But we don't need just any social interaction. Like our mothers would tell us, be careful who you hang out with, right? You become like the people that you spend time with, right? Or like Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts good character. No, it's not just social interaction, but it's a type of social interaction that keeps us healthy. This is what we see in Genesis 11 this morning. Billy Clayton read about the story of the Tower of Babel. All of humanity came together in one society. And this, after God had told them to be fruitful and to cover the earth. But instead of covering the earth, they hunkered down into one city, circled the wagons, they stayed indoors, they were content with the status quo, and they just stayed in that one little city. Instead of growing across the earth, they decided to build up from the earth. God thought, well, if they stay together like this, there's no telling what they can do. They will continue to disobey me, and worse, until eventually they will destroy the whole earth and themselves. So God scattered humanity, said, if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to force you to do it. And he did it through using language as the vehicle to scatter them. Now, the people at Babel, they certainly believed in social interaction. They believed that that was important. And it's just that their society was a corrupt society and a corrupting society. Their society was ultimately man-centered. If you notice in that story, they said, let us build. Let us build. Let us build a tower to God. So God became an object of their conquest, not the center of their lives. No, people need more than just interaction in society. They need a society that is centered upon God. It kind of reminds me of these commercials that you might have seen on television or on the internet of IBM. Probably shown these commercials for the last couple years. Their tagline is, let's build a smarter planet. Have any of y'all seen these commercials? Yeah? Let's build a smarter planet. It just so reminds me of this story. And at first, it reminded me of the country of Germany in the 1930s. That kind of was their tagline, let's build a smarter planet. Technology was their savior, right? If we build smarter infrastructures, if we build smarter computers, smarter communications, smarter this, smarter that, IBM says, well, what will we have? We'll have a smarter planet. And that's our aim, to have a smarter planet. Nothing about morality or goodness. I think IBM would have done really well in the city of Babel. Let's build a smarter planet. Well, you know, Babel made that mistake, and I think many churches can make that mistake too. Looking more like Babel than like a church, that they're man-centered. They're interested in building monuments, in sustaining the name. And in the end, if a church is centered on those kinds of things, they will end up, the members will end up just talking past one another and business meetings and other decisions and committees and stuff will end up looking like the Tower of Babel, people speaking different languages and not really knowing what the core of the church is all about. We have to be careful about falling into this sin. A question, are we more concerned about saving Mount Hermon Baptist Church or about saving the people around Mount Hermon Baptist Church? It's a question that cannot be answered with words. You can try this morning, but it's a question that can't be answered with words. It's a question that is answered with our lives. What are you doing with your life? How much time are you spending saving Mount Hermon Baptist Church? And how much time are you spending saving the people around Mount Hermon Baptist Church? Well, since Babel, people have continued to create societies centered on humans. If not on humans, on philosophies, on religions, on political ideals, and so on and so forth. These societies, mostly out of fear, I believe, they attempt to expand and expand their influence and their power and end up fighting other societies who attempt to infringe upon their power expansions. Jesus ran into one of these societies in the first century, the Roman Empire. He began preaching the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand, and a new society with new laws and a new way to interact with one another. If you want to read more about this new society, you can read Jesus' sermon that starts, I believe, in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. It's there where he lays out a new way to live, a new society, the kingdom of God. Now, tied to this new way of living is the church. The church is a foretaste of the society of God, the kingdom of God. And we as Christians are the citizens. Now, we don't have any passports or anything like that, but our proof of citizenship is a profession in Jesus Christ. It's a baptism, a public sign of our profession. And also, it's our new life, our very bodies, our very lives in Christ, made possible by the Holy Spirit. But we are citizens of this society more than anything else. That is the most important citizenship that we have, more important than even our citizenship in America. We are citizens of the kingdom of God first. Well, in Acts, we read of the birth of the church. That's what we read this morning. It began with a secret society, just a group of disciples of Jesus huddled up in a locked second story room out of fear of the dominant society of the time, the Roman Empire, who had recently crucified their master, Jesus. But suddenly, there was this sound of a rushing wind going into this room. When you hear of this rushing wind, what do you think of? Well, hopefully you'll think of the Holy Spirit, whose name in Hebrew means wind, like we discussed last week. It's the Holy Spirit there. And then we see these tongues of fire descending upon each of these disciples. Well, what does that remind you of? Well, it reminds me of the passage last week of when the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and landed on Jesus. And now the Holy Spirit lands on all the disciples of Jesus. This is certainly the work of the Holy Spirit, and Acts makes it clear, saying that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But then we encounter something weird. This scene where people from different societies, what Scripture says, nations, all the nations under heaven, different societies and different languages across the civilized world coming together through the working of the Spirit, through the message of the gospel. I think it's just really funny how God used languages to scatter people when we needed to be scattered so we wouldn't destroy ourselves. And now God uses languages again. He uses language to unite us. So often, language is a way that we still use to divide each other, to divide ourselves from others not like us. But God uses language now to unite us. Not as before, not as a man-centered society, but now as a God-centered society. Yet we'll see in a couple weeks that God's command to spread throughout the whole earth still remains, but with a little change. We are to invite people across the earth to this new society, God's society, the kingdom of God. And the church is now the vehicle in doing that. But what is the church? What is the church? Well, the church has gotten a lot of different names through Scripture and elsewhere. Some of them, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the family of God, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, and one of my favorites, an outpost of heaven. Heaven is coming down, and the first sign is the church of Jesus Christ. Well, we read last week the Apostles' Creed. Y'all remember the Apostles' Creed? It was in the bulletin. It's an ancient confession of faith that I think can help us even today. But one line reads, "We believe in the Holy Catholic Church." Now, I was kind of surprised that no one came up and mentioned that. It's like, whoa, what is this, the Holy Catholic Church? I thought we were a Baptist church. Don't you know that, preacher? Why are we saying that we believe in the Catholic Church? Well, maybe everyone knows the answer. Or maybe everyone forgot to ask me. Or maybe y'all just thought, well, let that crazy preacher say whatever he wants up there. We know what we believe. But yeah, I encourage you to ask me questions. Even in the middle of a sermon, you can raise your hand and ask me a question. If I'm off target, raise your hand. But simply put, the word Catholic is just, if you look it up in the dictionary, the word Catholic with the little c means universal. It means across the whole world. So when we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we believe in the Holy Universal Church, that there is one Church of Jesus Christ, not a bunch of little ones that maybe communicate once in a while. But the Roman Catholic Church, with the big C, the Roman Catholic Church, adopted that word, the word Catholic, to show how, though we may seem like a bunch of little church buildings scattered across the earth, we're actually one church. We're one church, one society around the world, under God. And the Apostles' Creed is a wonderful confession worth studying, and maybe we will in the future. But sometimes a little kid's rhyme is just as helpful. What is the church? Well, here's the church. And here's the steeple, right? And you got the doors, open the doors, and there's all the people right there. Y'all know that? Yeah. Well, I mean, we teach our kids that because there's a lot of wisdom in that. So what's the church? Well, here's the church. Well, certainly the church building. The church building is very important. It says a lot about who we are. The steeple, yeah, I could say that's kind of important. If nothing else, a little place for sparrows to perch. The doors, oh, the doors are pretty good, right? Though I imagine some churches would probably do better removing their doors. They use their doors to keep people out more than let people in. But all those things are good, and they're part of the church. But what really is the church? Yeah, the church is the people. The church is the people. You look around. Look around. If you're a Christian, you're part of the church. You're part of the church. You're part of this new society of God. Unlike some societies, though, the church does not exist for itself. We have a mission to go out to the world. And the world includes Mount Hermon Church Road. The world includes Old NC-10. The world includes Hillsborough Road and all these other roads that I'm still learning. The world is right outside these windows, right outside these doors. In 2 weeks, we're going to be beginning some classes for those people who are living on those roads, people who don't know English, but are desperately desiring to know English. There's a lot of our neighbors who only speak Spanish, and it can be a very difficult life living in the society that we call America. Not only is everything in a different language, but they often face hostilities from English-speaking people in America. They may never meet a friendly face all day, all week, all year. Well, the good news is that the Society of God is here in Mount Hermon Baptist Church. We can be that loving face for them. We can tell them that assimilation into the American society is not as important as finding God's society. We can introduce them to the good news of the kingdom of God. And when I say we, I mean you. I mean you can do it. You'll note in the insert this Sunday, I usually have notes on the back of the schedule. But this Sunday, I have a little advertisement, an advertisement for these English classes. And now each one of you has one of these. But I got some bad news. It's not yours. It's not yours. It belongs to somebody else. It belongs to somebody in this community. I don't really know who your advertisement belongs to. It'll be your job to find that person who is looking for this advertisement. Maybe you'll meet that person at a grocery store this week. You can visit one of the mobile home parks in the area. Maybe someone at work. maybe someone at a gas station or a restaurant, or maybe you have some other idea. Listen to God, and I believe God will direct you and direct your desires. But there is someone, and give that advertisement to the person who it belongs to. I'm excited to hear the stories. But on the first day of the life of the church, people from many languages heard the good news of the kingdom of God. We have the opportunity to reach those who speak Spanish with that good news here. I don't think there were any Spanish speakers back then, nor were there English speakers, but we have an opportunity to continue the story of the church, even this week, to reach out to people who are not like us, who don't have our language. After 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit continues to work in God's church. And I believe the Holy Spirit, and I hope you believe that the Holy Spirit can empower us to reach out to these people. Let's trust in that promise. Well, have you become part of this new society of God? Have you yet to profess that Jesus is your Lord? You want to profess that in the sign of baptism, that you want to become a member of a local church? Mount Hermon Baptist Church opens her doors and opens her arms, as she has done many times in the past, to you. You can make that decision this morning. And I encourage you to make that decision this morning. During this last hymn of invitation, come forward and make that decision. Take that first step. Could you please pray with me? Oh Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together in this new society centered around you, in a fellowship that we need for our own health, O Lord, both here in this life and for eternal life. O Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit bore the church. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has sustained the church through 2,000 years in its mission to spread across the whole world and make disciples for you, O Father. We have a great news, the news of Jesus Christ, the news of this new society, a new way to live. O Lord, empower us to go out to our community and spread that news. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn number 236, may we stand.